This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, proudly sponsored by Dylan's Brewery and the Sky Blue Tavern. My name is Ross Cooper, and today I am joined by Matt Trutwin to have a look ahead as the international break comes to a gladly ending for me. That's not a terrible word. I'm done. That's how much I'm sort of discombobulated with the international break. Comes to a much needed ending for me anyway. And club football returns. So we're going to have a look ahead to Bristol City. Matt, good evening. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, very well. It's I know what you're saying. It does throw you after a couple of weeks off, doesn't it? It feels like a lifetime since, and it hasn't really been that long, but it does feel like, you know, just waiting a couple of weeks during the season just completely throws you, doesn't it?
It is crazy. It is crazy. I mean, it's been a week and a half from when we were recording tonight since Norwich, but it does feel like so much longer. I think actually when we did our last preview pod, that was after an international break as well, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. We had fun with that one as well, didn't we? Because we tried to do it and then a few things might have happened. And
things
then
changed. We did it before the Cardiff result and then realised. And then suddenly Neil Warnock left Huddersfield and we thought, actually, you know what, let's redo that. But it is Bristol City next up for the Sky Blues. I guess before we get into Bristol, are you feeling more optimistic than you did when we returned from the last international break, you know, with the last batch of games that we had, you know, are you more encouraged with what you've seen results wise, but also performance wise from as a team and individually?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? You know, I think it is a work in progress with effectively a new squad. So I'm always confident that we'll keep moving forward. And the further we go into the season, you know, I expect that to happen. And also with this one, I guess maybe there's a little bit more hope and expectation because of the fact that we hopefully will see some returning players off the back of this international break as well, which is really exciting in a few cases, actually. So, yeah, I probably do feel a little bit more excited for a few different reasons. But obviously, we didn't have bad results at the end of the run before the international break. Were the performances amazing? It was a bit of a mixed bag, really, wasn't it? But we got the results. And I think, I remember Dino saying before the Huddersfield game, that was really a case of, let's just get a result and maybe we'll worry about performances at a later stage. And obviously we know how that worked out. So I think in that run up to the international break, it probably was results over performances, but the Norwich game was an improvement in itself for sure. I'm excited for a few different reasons, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think you summed it up perfectly there. I mean, we returned, if we look at the last sort of block of games, we obviously we returned with a 1-1 draw against Hull City. That obviously disappointing defeat against Cardiff, when probably everyone was at the most sort of negative, you know, because it was a poor performance. But then draw to Huddersfield, obviously last minute goal. That those two games were elite. But then, you know, beating QPR, beating Blackburn, and then a positive performance and actually controlling the game for large parts against Norwich.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at it as a season as a whole, and I mean, only two defeats. I mean, it's there's a lot of yellow on the soccer stats I'm looking at, a lot of draws, but we haven't, we're hard to beat. And I think we're only going to get better, aren't we? I mean, last night, and for any listeners who came to the Sky Blue Tavern for Jada Silver and Louis Binks, I mean, they were both fantastic, and thank you for everyone coming down. But that they spoke about, you know, how if while we're picking up results, while we're not, say, even out of second gear, when we get flowing, I think we'd be really difficult to stop. You know, because we are picking up results. And I guess that was why those two wins just before Norwich were important, because obviously prior to them, we hadn't won enough. But it's I think it's exciting. I mean, like you touched on the players coming back. I mean, who, you know, Callum O'Hare, how, I mean, someone, a little kid asked Jay De Silva, he said, look, when's Callum O'Hare back? And I don't know, he gave a very coy response, which was like, Robbins has been like, do not say when he's returning. But I think surely he's been on the grass for a few weeks now, hasn't he? And I know they don't want to rush him back, but this international break, I actually was glad we had it, because I thought for the likes of Ben Sheaf, who we know is on the grass, Fabio Tavares, O'Hare, those three in particular, you feel like surely they can't be far away now.
Yeah, it's been funny watching the content and seeing all of those videos of people getting excited about coming back on the grass. And it really does highlight to you how affected we have been by injuries. And I guess it probably gives you that context in terms of where we are this season. And maybe it helps people to see that it hasn't been as bad as maybe at points it might have seemed for some people, because obviously there's a lot of expectation when you finish fifth, when you get so close to the Premier League, and when you spend a lot of money, the expectations are going to be high. And transition feels like a bit of a dirty word. People don't want to hear it, because I think they think if you say transition, it means you're saying we're ruling out the possibility of what we can do. And it's not necessarily that at all, but it is going to take time to fully gel as well. So yeah, but it is exciting to see players will come back. And as you say, you're completely right. In what is a transitional period, in a period of time where it hasn't fully clicked, to still say we've only really lost two games. You could say fine margins, we possibly could have been a few points better off. And it's so tight in the table in terms of kind of mentality. You know, a couple more points maybe puts us in and around the playoffs, and the mentality is maybe a little bit different from that perspective as well. So I'm relatively positive about how things have started. I still, you know, I think there isn't a player that we've signed in the summer who I'm anywhere near close to writing off by any stretch of the imagination. I think they can all provide more of a positive to our squad than a negative. But probably also realism tells you that there might be one or two who don't fully pan out. But
Robbins hasn't given up on any, has he? Like, you know, in previous years with Hillsnow or whatever, whoever else, it's been obvious, hasn't it, quite early on, that Robbins doesn't hand out token appearances. You know, if he doesn't think someone's up to the level, they just don't play. We saw it with Castanier, really. So I look at it, but you know, he is playing Hadji, right? He is playing Ellis Sims. You know, they've got a couple of goals in, you know, the last sort of three games before the break. And like you say, you know, Van Avax is coming strength to strength. Sakamoto, people were really excited with his performance. So suddenly you start going, actually, there's more and more people now who are almost putting a marker down to start. And you go, we've got Casey Palmer to come back. We've got Callum O'Hare. I mean, just think last year, Matt, when Callum O'Hare got injured on Boxing Day, that was it. That was playoffs over, you know.
Yeah.
And that's because and I think it's easy to forget how good he is. So I think him coming back to the side, and I'm also very excited that thinking, well, January's not a million miles away, and we know we're going to go out and get a central mid. We're going to spend probably 4, 5, 6 million on a marquee center mid. So I think it's very, very exciting.
I agree.
And like you touched on there about sort of transitional periods, I think you're right. I think some fans think that when you say that, you mean you're writing off the whole season, but the season's so long that you can have a transitional period, which is a 10-game block. I mean, you only have to look at last season, not just us, but you look at QPR, they were like third and then ended up, you know, just surviving. So
I mean, look, I'm looking at the table.
Season's the best example of it, really. Yeah. You know, it has been a transitional period. I don't think it's fully clicked. I think there's still more to come from us, but we've lost two games and we are only really a few points out of the playoffs. If maybe we'd have held on in a couple of games late in the day, then we would be in and amongst the playoffs. And you're saying this is the period where obviously you're still working things out more than ever, and we could still actually quite easily envisage a situation where we're in the playoffs. So yeah, saying transitional period, it's unarguable to say that when you talk about, is it 15 years between the last time we spent over £1 million or one player over £1 million in the last 15 years between Freddie Eastwood and this summer. And then we do it, what was it, 6 or 7 times plus some of the other players we brought into the club. It's inarguable. I think inarguably the most transitional summer window that we had since getting relegated from the Premier League. And that's in itself shocking when you consider there's been a lot of promotions and relegations in that period. But I still think that's true.
And it's interesting, actually. A friend of mine made the point, and again, it's very easy in hindsight, and obviously we all wanted to win at Wembley, but a point he made to me was, we were going to have this transitional period, whether we got promoted or didn't. We were going to have this overhaul of players. Having a transitional period in the Premier League is probably a far more unforgiving than now. You know, like, you look, 11 games in, we're 13th, we're 3 points off the playoffs. And that's after we've probably performed at like a 5 or 6 out of 10 in terms of our capability. And you think, in the Premier League, though, we'd have signed as many players. Some would have been the same. Some would have been different. But there would have still been that thing of, we need them to gel and all this. Mm. And then you're playing your Man United, your Man Cities every week. In a way, all these signings we've got, all bar two loanies, and of all the permanent signings, all but two are on four-year deals. And that's what's exciting, that you think, actually, there's a core of players here. Like Jay De Silva was talking, he's buzzing, he absolutely loves it, do you know what I mean, at the club. Yeah. And you can just feel that amongst, and you think, you know what, these players are just going to get better and better as the season goes on. And I think we've got ourselves in a really good position. Looking ahead then, I mean, unfortunately, there's only 3 weeks until the next international break, which just just killed me when I saw that. I thought, what is going on? So we've got 5 games between now and then. Obviously, the first one up on Saturday away at Bristol City, who currently, you know, for what it's worth, are, you know, same points, but one place below us in the table. They've been quite inconsistent this season. I mean, their most recent form isn't good at all. 3 defeats from the last 4. What do you make of Bristol? Because I feel like every summer, you obviously got Nigel Pearson, and they've had him for, I mean, remarkably, he's like the 3rd longest serving manager or something now, which is shows you the context of the Championship. But every year it feels like they flirt to make you think, they could be the dark horse, or they could do something. They make some half decent signings. They sign Jason Knight from Derby, and I thought, actually, I wouldn't have mind him. And they do that every summer, and then they have performances where you go, you know what, actually, if they did that consistently, they probably would be in the conversation to be in the top 10, top 8. But then there are performances where you go, you're definitely finishing 17th again. Like, what do you make of them?
I think they're about as middle of the road as it comes in the Championship. I get what you're saying. You know, they make a couple of signings, and you look at them and you look at their squad and you all think, they're all decent. I don't look at their squad and think they've got a lot of weaknesses, but I also don't look at their squad and think there's anything that jumps out and massively excites me either. And their season again this year versus last year and the year before that and the year before that, and for what feels like a long period of time, it's just so middle of the road. You know, if you'd have asked me, if I'd have woken up from a coma, let's say, at this point of the season, and somebody had said, right, where do you think Kov are in the table, I wouldn't have, you could have told me they were 13th, you could have told me they were 3rd or 5th or in the top 2, and I'd have thought, that all sounds realistic. But if somebody said Bristol City were 14th, I'd have said, that sounds about right. You know, it just feels like where they should be. And you think about the summer, they obviously sold Alex Scott, who is an important player to them. And you're kind of thinking, you look at maybe what we did off the back of selling players, and what we actually went out and used that money to do. And then you kind of look at this, in my mind, I then look at the signings that they brought in a little bit of a different light. I kind of think, well, if you've sold Alex Scott for what reported £25 million, you're kind of thinking what they ended up bringing in was a little bit underwhelming. Solid, decent, but it's again not to a level where you can lose some really good players, well, obviously, as they've done, and then expect to jump up from where you've been in the last few years. If that
and that's
sense.
On the back of, in January, they sold Semenyo as well to Bournemouth. So they've had two high-profile sales. And the Alex Scott sale, that came after they'd done their incoming business. And I remember saying this on Twitter and on the forum, when our fans were sort of in hysteria that we hadn't sort of spent the Hamer money, we'd already spent the Vic money. Mm. I was like, Nigel Pearson came out and said, after literally selling a player for 25 million, said, we haven't got scope to do anything. Now imagine what the reaction would be in Coventry on Gov Twitter if Mark Robbins had come out and said, I know we've sold Gus for whatever, but that's it. Imagine. I just thought, wow. No, it doesn't. I listened to that. And I thought, wow. I mean, you've just sold this young player academy. Mm. You know, so he's come through the academy, and yes, great deal. Can't argue that. But you as a fan, you'd want to see something. Whether it's like a £3-4 million signing now, and then like, okay, in January we can build on that, because you don't want to make the wrong signings. But when he said, oh, no, there's no scope to do anything, you sort of go. Like,
I think after he was sold, it was a free transfer goalkeeper from Forest Green Rovers and Gardner Hickman on loan from West Brom, which again, you know, it's not a terrible signing, but if that had happened, if that had been our business post, as you say, selling a Hamer, then yeah, it would have been full blown meltdown, which, you know, we see it for a draw most weeks. So it doesn't even bear thinking about. So yeah, to me, they're just a middle of the road team who, if I was to predict where they'd finish, it generally where they is now, you know, they're 4 wins, 3 losses, 4 defeats. Again, everything about them just screams middle of the road. 14 goals for, 13 against. It's just even, just, it does mean that obviously we have to kind of, I guess, respect if we go there and we're not maybe performing well, then you're not going to get an easy day there as well. So, you know, I don't think we're going to go there and have an easy game as well. I just think you think about where we were coming into this division and obviously how we've moved on in 3 years, and they feel like the anti version of that. They just haven't. They just sail along in the same position. And I feel like we've progressed above them as a club to the extent now where I say, look, everything being equal, I think we're the better team. Yeah. And I feel like we should go there and feel confident about getting a result. But at the same time, if we're off a little bit, then we're very fairly going to get turned over as well. Or maybe not turned over, but we could quite easily.
So we could lose the game, couldn't we? Yeah. And that, I think, you know, the games they've won and then some of the games they've lost are against sides who probably you'd also put in that category, you know, of those sort of bang average teams like Stoke. You know, they're 2-0 up in their last home game and somehow lost that 3-2. But then the home game before that, they beat Plymouth 4-1. So, you know, it's one of those. I think it's undoubted that we've overtaken them as a club in the last couple of years. Jay De Silva spoke about it. Obviously, he's going back to his former club, and he was very robust in saying he wants 3 points. He said that, you know, and maybe he's got a point to prove. I mean, but his desire to sort of leave, but his desire to sign for us, even from January, he said how close it actually was to happening and how gutted he was that it didn't happen in January. So he was literally he spoke to Mark Robbins in January, you know, and he was sort of keeping an eye out on all the results. And it was from his point of view, he said that he was just desperate that we were still interested come the summer. Like from his side, he was like, yeah, I want to go to Coventry. And I just think when we got promoted, to think, like you say, we've done that after the COVID season in, well, 2, and this is the 3rd season, you know, once back in Coventry, we've just overtaken them. You know, and that goes for a lot of clubs, you know, who have been there, you know, while we're in League One, they were there and they've just sort of been, I don't know, they just have this constant churn of players. You look at Casey Palmer, another one, obviously he won't, be in the squad, you'd imagine. But he's someone who we heard a lot of negative things from Bristol City fans, like, oh, he didn't do this or whatever. And he's proved, I think, you know, them wrong, you know, in terms of his performances for us for the most part. And I think Jay De Silva, I mean, you know, quick word on him. I think he's been so far, you know, probably the signing of the summer and arguably player of the season so far. Played every game.
Yeah.
Pre-transfer, and he's just looked unbelievable, I think.
Yeah, he slotted in perfectly. You know, for me, it would be between him or Latibodier.
Good shout, yeah.
Just really solid. You know, you're really confident and comfortable with having him. Out wide, you think he can do what he needs to do defensively. His positioning is really strong, but you also feel like he can get forward and cause a threat as well. So just a really, just a really strong addition to our side. And I don't know what they were seeing there, to be honest, to kind of follow up on your point. You know, it just seems unimaginable because you can't, you think, is it really possible that somebody could just come to us in the space of a summer and become such a different player to what he would have been there? But, you know, it possibly just shout or say a lot about us as a football club that we've just been able to unlock something in him, as we have done with a number of other players in the past who maybe, have come to our club, and obviously Palmer being another example from the same club, but Gyökeres and many others that we could talk about who've come to our club and obviously, you know, become something that they maybe weren't considered to be where they were previously. But yeah, speaking specifically about De Silva, I would definitely put him up there. If not the player of the season so far, he'd be in the top two for sure.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Team news-wise then, you know, looking ahead at the game, is there any changes you'd make? Can you foresee any obvious sort of switches? I mean, Louis Binks, who was also obviously me and Dino spoke to yesterday, he was on the bench for Norwich, wasn't he, the last game? Kitchen came in. Yeah. Do you think that might maintain? What do you sort of expect? I mean, we know Mark Robbins is difficult to predict. He definitely listens to the podcast and does the opposite. So what do you think he might do?
Yeah, I don't think he'll change the back three. I think Kitchen, you know, we said it a few times on the podcast, and it's obviously something that's talked a lot about on social media. When you're bringing somebody in for that amount of money, you're expecting to see them phased in a little bit sooner than he actually ended up, you know, maybe being phased in. And has he been fully phased in just because he started the last game? You know, it's certainly not now completely nailed down, but I think he obviously came in and he did well in that game against Norwich. So I don't expect to see any changes across that back three. I think the most probably obvious one that you might suggest would be Sakamoto and Van Ewijk. Obviously, he was injured. He came back into the squad and was able to come on in the Norwich game. And obviously, we all saw how he affected that. So obviously, I think the ideal world is that Van Ewijk would start. But sometimes it maybe can be a case of putting two and two together and just assuming, you know, oh, he was able to come on as a sub in that game, and then he's had a couple of weeks, you know, more time to get back to full fitness. So I think probably he's fit, but I wouldn't be 100% shocked as well if maybe he still needs a little bit of time to get to the point where you're thinking you'll get a full 90 out of him. But I think if the feeling is that he's ready to go, I certainly feel like he would feel a lot more confident with having Van Ewijk start versus Sakamoto, who obviously I think probably had one of his better games for us in the Norwich match. But I still think the expectation is obviously Van Ewijk is
the number one right wing back,
in that part of the pitch. So
and Sakamoto looked good on the left, didn't he? By all, you know, I actually didn't make the Norwich game. I was in it at Stagdo, but everyone was saying that, you know, by all accounts, he was really impressive. Obviously, he was close to getting a winner, and on that left side, And actually, I want to ask you, because somebody at the tavern the other night actually asked Jada Silva, you know, not, because obviously he's the manager and he decides what formation we play, but someone asked, are we going to be playing 4-4-2 again like we did when we switched that to Norwich? And I had no idea that we played 4-4-2 against Norwich. I mean, that was news to me. I was like, who was playing where? You'll have to enlighten me, Matt.
I mean, I think the thing with Sakamoto as well, he is the kind of player I do think is quite transferable, to be honest with you. So you can move him around. But I mean, to be honest, I didn't make the game either, but I did hear a lot.
Oh, there
of,
we are. Yeah.
So he's probably not the best for us on this podcast, but I did hear a lot of kind of talk around. It seemed quite a subtle change in terms of the fact of, you know, you obviously, it was obvious seeing Sakamoto go from one end of the pitch to the other, but it was just a little bit more free flow and a little bit more interchangeable. So, and I think possibly a lot of that relates to the fact of starting with Sims and Wright as well. And obviously we made a change a little bit later on there as well, but no, look, we've got the options now. We've obviously got a squad full of talent versus maybe four or five players. So we've got the flexibility. We've got the ability to move things around in a little bit more, it's just a little bit more freedom or a little bit more creative.
More fluid, isn't it? So, you know, Van Aebak looked like, I tried to go on iFollow and I watched like chunks of the game and he looked really high up, you know. So I imagine maybe that, you know, Robbins thinks, actually, you know what, we're chasing the game. He can obviously play like a right winger. You know, we've got Ayari who, you know, I think when Robin does sort of throw caution to the wind a little bit, we've got quite a few options, you know, to cause teams, I think, people won't know whether they're coming or going with Sakamoto. Van Aebak's got obviously ridiculous pace. And obviously, we've got players coming back. You know, the big two for me would be Sheaf and O'Hare. Can you see them making the squad on Saturday?
I mean, from everything that was said, obviously the situation with O'Hare was, I think, working towards the fact that he probably would have been back by this point in terms of the squad. Maybe with a thought of we can get a few minutes out of him off the bench, but then there was this situation with the dead leg, which obviously seemed to push that back a little bit. And when you've had such a long injury, I guess any little spanner in the works or whatever can affect things maybe longer than you would expect it to do with somebody who that is their only issue, right? So I would expect to see possibly one of them on the bench. But then in saying that, they have that situation after the back of an international break where you feel like you don't maybe have as much information as you usually would in the build up to a match day. So me saying that is more speculation or hope possibly more than actually thinking, right, well, I expect they to be that far along in their recovery, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100%. No, I 100% agree with you. And I think it's,
I mean,
it's
what
be exciting.
Do you think we'll see either of them on the bench? I guess what I'd say is I'm more hopeful. And the weight of the fact that you're seeing these videos of them on the grass training and that now feels like it was a few weeks ago in itself. So you kind of, again, it's that thing of two and two and kind of coming up with your own.
You'd like to think the media team know what they're doing in terms of those, but this is the same media team who did a photo of Hamer every day up until when he was sold. So yeah, I don't know whether to read too much into it. I think they could be. Yeah, I think O'Hare.
Both of them, or
it's an interesting one. I think maybe it's a weird one because we've got the game on Wednesday night. You know, a few days later, and I sort of think, will Robbins go? You know what? I can give him an extra, you know, couple of days training. We can get through Bristol with what we had for Norwich, and then try and. I don't know. I'd like to see O'Hare on the bench because I think even him being on the bench, being in part of the matchday squad, even if he was to get 10 minutes, do you know what I mean? Just to feel that, like you know, like Jamie Allen did, and then you look at how he's blossomed since coming back in the side. I think that would give everyone a boost. I do think Van Aebak coming back sooner than anyone predicted was that a boost that we all needed as well. Yeah. Ben Sheaf, I actually have a feeling Ben Sheaf's probably more likely, you know, out the two, because I think he's obviously not been out for as long. He's not had the same seriousness of an injury. So I think I'd like both, but this is Robbins. So I sort of always, I think it errs on the side of caution, I think.
Yeah.
And I think if there's even 1% doubt about O'Hare, I don't think you'll put him on the bench. Whereas I think Sheaf, he, because the position, you know, O'Hare does get tackled. He's going to get fouled. He's going to, you know, be hit, you know, smashed, you know, smithereens. Yeah. Whereas I think he would go, you know, if Ben Sheaf needed to come on for 15 minutes to just sit there, he, you know, he could do that, I think. So obviously he knows more than me. He knows more than me in terms of where they're at, but you've seen them on the grass for a while. So you'd like to think it is just a case of fitness and hopefully match sharpness, hopefully. So fingers crossed. Looking then at this next block of fixtures, Matt, obviously Bristol, but then we've got Rotherham away, followed by a lovely 3 o'clock home game. I'm joking. It's a Monday, 8 o'clock on Sky again. I know all the fans are delighted at that. And then we've got Preston away. And then the final game of this block is home to Stoke. Those five games, then, when you look at them, as just that block, do you feel hopeful that we can see a better return points-wise with a few more victories in there, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't look the most intimidating run of games, to be honest with you. And I know, obviously, the Championship is a really hard league to predict. Every given week, we'll see, you know, ridiculous scorelines and things you don't expect to see. But I think on the face of it, you know, there's nothing in there which... I mean, on the face of each game individually, out of the five, there isn't one where I would say... there is an opportunity for us to take 3 points away.
Preston away, mate. Preston away.
Yeah, but I don't know. I have this... I was thinking about this the other day with Preston. You just, at a certain point, it's got to change, right?
Well, of course it is, yeah.
And I don't know. I just look at them again. They're a bit... I mean, I know they haven't had a bad start to the season, to be fair, but I don't necessarily expect them to be doing too much come the end of the season either. I don't, you know, see too much... in terms of, you know, standout players or anything in that squad. So I look at them in a lot of ways similar to Bristol City. It would have been, you know, I believe they were an established Championship club at the point of us coming back into this division. And then we've, in my opinion, we've moved above them as a club. And I know we've got this terrible record there, but I just feel like...
It's a Saturday. That gives me some hope, because normally it's a midweek game and I just go, oh no. Whereas it is a Saturday, which makes me go, maybe Hadji right is going to, you know, put an end to it's the...
It's kind of that thought of people will kind of say, well, we never go and do anything at Preston. It's kind of, you're talking about something that maybe happened in... Or part of that belief is based on something that happened in 2013 with like Sammy Klingon in the team. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like it's not relevant to the situation now. If we're talking about a run of maybe not doing things at Preston, it's, well, what are the reasons that impact what we would be able to do now? It's always on the other flip side of it. When we play Sunderland, I always get quite nervous because I think at a certain point, maybe that...
It's going to switch the other way around.
It's going to go the other way. So I don't look at that game. This might be ridiculous now when we go there and get turned out. The one time I've been to Preston was a 4-0 loss. So I haven't got great experience of going there myself. But I don't look at this run of five games. And I think there isn't anybody on that list who... I don't think we can't be. I don't certainly also say we're going to come away with five wins out of five. But
what would you be happy with points wise?
I think the big thing for us at the moment is turning results into kind of definitive results, if that makes sense. So, you know, maybe I don't even necessarily think it's because we're not taking risks, but just less draws.
And would you be happy with three wins and two defeats?
Yeah, I think that's what I was going to lean towards. I think, you know, you could go, oh, well, it would be good if we come out of that run and beat them. But then if that means, let's say, one win and four draws, it's obviously less points. And at a certain point, you're just thinking, well, just a little bit more of a definitive run of, like I said, I don't think it's because we're not taking enough risks and we're playing it too safe or anything like that. But just that final cutting edge, maybe to put teams away and not give them that opportunity to come back into the game. And even if that... you know, means that a couple of games or, you know, there is the possibility that we lost one or two of the games in, and then I probably would be okay with that, even though on the face of it, all of these games, I don't necessarily think any of them are particularly better than us. But yeah, I probably would take that. But I think there's opportunity in every game for us, for sure.
100%. I think if we could be in the playoffs or level on points with the, you know, sixth place, by the end of that Stoke game, I think that'd have us in a really nice position. So just finally then, Matt, to round off your prediction for Bristol City this Saturday, in the Jay De Silva, Matty James, Casey Palmer derby? What are you going for?
I mean, I've said all that, and for me, it's almost got 1-1 written all over it. So I've said all of that about what I want to see us do. I just feel like, I don't know, with the course of how this season's gone, maybe it's impaired my thinking too much, and I should take hope from the fact that we're coming out the other side of an international break, and, you know, maybe that run of... Because it's happened either way, if we look at it in recent weeks as well. We've maybe snatched defeat from... we snatched victory from the jaws of defeat, or we've turned a loss into a draw, or we've managed to turn a victory into a draw. So it's kind of benefited and negatively affected us as well. But I don't know, just something about this says to me it's going to be a 1-1 draw.
I'd take a point. I think if a point on Saturday and then go and beat Rotherham, 4 points in the next two, I'd be really, really pleased with. So, another positive performance.
Puts us in an interesting situation for that West Brom game then as well. You know, 4 points going into that game, you'd make it a really, really tasty game, wouldn't it, on an exciting Monday night.
It really would. I would take a point, but I tell you what, I'll be optimistic. I'll go with a 2-1 win, a Jay De Silva curler, edge of the box.
93rd minute.
And he runs over to Nigel Pearson and gives him a load of grief, but fingers crossed. But that's all we've got time for today, Matt. Thank you very much for joining with me today. And as always, to our listeners, make sure you follow us at Sky Blues Extra and join the conversation as well. And as always, sponsored by Dylan's Brewery and the Sky Blue Tavern. Fingers crossed for the Sky Blues on Saturday. Hopefully we can get 3 points and not a 1-0 draw like Matt thinks, but we'll see what happens and unfolds. Play up, Sky Blues.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.